Welcome back, and play has just recommenced in the game between Sydney FC and Arsenal. Arsenal leading 1-0 at half-time. They've got a number of their EPL stars playing, the likes of Theo Walcott, and Welbeck is playing. Certainly not their full-strength team, neither is it Sydney FC's, but enough quality out there for Sydney FC to be fairly pleased to just be the odd goal down, trailing 1-0 after having conceded a goal in the first 5 minutes. Coming up, a bush in the burbs. Paul Daffy is out in country Victoria doing a speaking agreement based on that wonderful book he's written about of country football in this state. And so we've got a very able deputy, Hannah Driscoll, who's chief footy writer for the Weekly Times, will join me very shortly. A couple of great guests as well. Well, Manny Galagotis from the Maui Football Club. Of course, you'll probably know the name Galagotis through the Galagotis brothers' horse training interests. And in recent years, they've had some great horses, spring carnival type Group 1 horses, but they're a passionate sporting club, sporting family with a very strong connection. Obviously, Manny, president of Maui, and they've got a really interesting story to tell. We'll talk about that shortly. After 10 o'clock, we've got a first Wimbledon update for the night as the women take centre stage, semi-finals between, I think it's Muguruza and Rybakova. She's in her first semi-final, a bit of a journey woman, Rybakova, but that's probably going to take centre stage interest-wise in England to Joanna Konta, the Australian-born lass, taking on Venus Williams. So fascinating, and looking forward to the preview. And then around 10:15, ahead of Battle of the Reds, this huge soccer game between recently retired champs from United, Man United and Liverpool, to be held at Amy Park on the 25th of July. I'll be joined live from England by Premier League great former Liverpool striker and English striker Emil Heskey, as Arsenal, gee, they should have put that one away, threatening the Sydney FC goal once again. Don't forget Selection Dissection with Peaky and Howard Cotton, but right now it's time to go bushing and burbing, as we always do on a Thursday night, with local football, the focus. And I'm joined by the chief footy writer for the Weekly Times, our great country standard, Hannah Driscoll.
On 1116 SEN, Bush and the Burbs, for Toyota's Good for Footy program. Local Toyota dealers supporting local clubs. Discover more at toyota.com.au/AFL.
And it's great to welcome Hannah Driscoll behind the mic here at 1116 SEN. G'day, Hannah.
Hello, how you going?
Yeah, look, I'm really pleased, excited to do this hour with you, because I was actually at a season opener for the Mornington Peninsula, or might have been the Southeastern Football and Netball League. You and Kevin Hillier conducted Bush and the Burbs, and I listened to the entire program on the drive home, and it was a ripper.
Oh, thank you very much. It feels like a while ago now. What would that be? It's a couple of months, but...
Well, it was pre-season because I was there to help launch the Cefnal season. Play hadn't commenced yet. It was a really good program. Kevin, of course, is heavily invested in local football through the Western Region Football League. So just as a bit of an entree for our listeners, you're the chief footy writer for the Weekly Times.
That's right.
How did, first of all, you get to that position? Have you been a lifelong footy fan? And exactly what does it entail? Because the Weekly Times, we know, covers the length and breadth of the state.
We certainly do. So I have always been interested in footy. Grew up around and played netball at a footy netball club growing up. And then...
Where are you from?
From Rochester, up right in northern Victoria.
Yep.
So started playing netball up there, and then started in sport journalism at Shepparton. So got to keep an eye on the Gombe Valley, Murray Leagues, Pocola and KD, and then obviously expand on that quite a bit when you're talking about the 40-odd leagues that we cover at the Weekly Times, which is keeps me very busy, but it's a lot of fun.
Let's have a look around the traps. And you, on the weekend, went to the 125th VAFA celebration game, which was a game between the VAFA and Country Victoria. It certainly fell the way of the Ammos. Tell us how it played out, and your take on what was a very big day for amateur football.
It is. It's always a big day when these two teams line up against each other. They play this every second year. They play off for the Brian Maloney Cup between Vaffa and Vic Country. And Vic Country had it in their hands, having won it in 2015. But yeah, it's a big year for the Vaffa, obviously celebrating their 125th anniversary. And they took it home in absolute style on the weekend. 152, so 24-8, 152 to 10-10-70 for the Country boys. So disappointing for the day for new Vic Country coach, Danny Frawley. Vaffa particularly got the job done in the second quarter. They kicked 9-0. So took a big lead into halftime. It was an interesting day down at Frankston Park, a bit windy, so the goals were definitely favouring one end, but it was just an amazing performance from Vaffa. So well done to them. A couple of standout performances. You had Al Armstrong from Old Melbournians kicking just the lazy seven there.
Nice.
So yeah, he did a very good job. And then Sam Critchley, Sam Hibbins and Steve Milne chipped in with three apiece. So very impressive performance from them. But the Country boys did get one early in the day. They took out the under-19s in the first game by 4 points. So that was a pretty exciting finish.
The team, actually, I'm not sure if you know who it was. Quite unusual that one of the key players for Vaffa was actually a C-grade player, I believe.
Really? That's this would probably be your area of expertise more than mine.
Daff was talking about it last week. If anybody knows who that player was, give us an SMS on 04, drop us an SMS on 0433 98 11 16. Stephen Milne, obviously the ex-St Kilda player. Any other ex-AFL players featuring for the Vaffa?
So it was George Burberry, I think, was their captain. So yeah, Old great. Geelong
Well, he might be the player. Old Geelong might be the side, actually, that is located in one of the lower grades.
Okay.
I think it is. And George Burberry, classy player with Geelong, wasn't quite able to hold his spot on the list. But, yeah, so he captained, I think, out of a C-grade team, which is very unusual. But it just shows
the talent, I suppose, that he's got.
Yeah, look, there are strong players right across the competition, ex-AFL players going down right through the grades. As for Country football, what was the uptake like? Were they getting a lot of their feature players playing? Because it is hard to get together a team and to get them to train together and get them all on the same page.
Yeah, look, you have to admire the Country boys, because some of these guys are doing hours and hours to get down to trainings on Sundays. They've been training and then they have a couple of training sessions in the week before the game. So when you're talking about, you know, there was guys coming down from Albury, that's quite a trek. This year also interesting, there were some leagues that had the bye weekend, so they weren't missing home games, but then there were some that were, so that was interesting to note.
That's right, yeah.
It affected some teams, it would have affected some teams more than others, depending on who was playing and who their opposition were this week. And there were a few injuries that ruled out a couple of key players for the Country boys, but that happens every year. So, look, it was still a very, very good team, but just, yeah, Vaffa were just outstanding on Saturday. You couldn't really fault them.
And if my memory is correct, these games have traditionally been pretty close in recent years.
Well, Country had a pretty big win 2 years ago.
Okay.
But the couple of ones before that were like a kick or less.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I remember Peter Knight, who coached them a couple of years ago, saying, we always have really, really tight contests with Vaffa. It's usually very close one way or the other. So he was really surprised 2 years ago when Country had a pretty big win. And Vaffa obviously turning the tables this time around.
Now, I believe a penalty has been given in the game between Sydney FC and Arsenal, and it's possibly the worst penalty I've ever seen awarded. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it, but Seb Ryle, Arsenal looked certain to score. Might have been Danny Welbeck on goal, no goalkeeper, only he and the goal separated by Seb Ryle, who turned his back on Welbeck, and Welbeck fired into the back of Seb Ryle. The ball missed his hands by a considerable margin, but the penalty's been paid. So we'll just stay with it for a second, because we'll see whether or not Arsenal can double their lead on the back of a pretty embarrassing moment for the referee. Nevertheless, one that everybody will move on from. So here's an opportunity. Come on, take the penalty, son. I don't know what all this...
Maybe they need the AFL rule, 30 seconds.
Yeah, they need something. Up he steps and straight at the goalkeeper. So a little bit of maybe Welbeck himself didn't quite have it in him to slot the undeserved penalty. It remains 1-0. Let's have a look at some of the competitions in and around Melbourne. It's quite interesting. Nepean Football League, Peninsula Football League, and the Cefnil, South Eastern Football and Netball League, they can probably point to being part city, part country. A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Well, it's that they've had that affiliation going back probably decades, but you look at where Melbourne's grown in that same time. And yeah, it's a very different landscape down there.
So this week's AFL Southeast Region Summary is brought to you by Jacobs and Lower State Agents in Mornington, servicing that region so well. We'll start with the Nepean Football League and Tyab. The Yabbies went down to Dramana by 72 points at home. Keeps the Tigers in the top five and clear of Redhill and Somerville. Sorrento, who are a powerhouse this season, aren't they? Dished out a 133-point thrashing to Crib Point. Poholk kicked seven.
How do you beat that side? In fact, there's a couple of teams around Victoria that are like that. But seriously, it is going to take something pretty special for anyone to knock off Sorrento this year, or for the wheels to absolutely fall off at Sorrento.
Yeah, I mean they've always been the sort of powerhouse club in the Nepean Football League, attracting players on the back of a lot of well-heeled supporters, and they haven't necessarily always delivered on the contract. But boy, this year. They look a class above. Still, there are teams going to try and chase them down. And Devon Meadows was comfortable winners over Pearsdale, and they won by 93 points. Alan Murray, who has played league football with Port Adelaide and St Kilda, went on to very good football in the Eastern Football League, is now in the Nepean League. He kicked seven goals, Bugsy. So I don't know quite how old Alan would be, mid-30s at least. You can check that one up, but that's a pretty good effort by the Bugs. And Frankston Bombers, who were facing a potential third loss in a row, had a good 45-point win over Redhill. Rye got absolutely pasted by Hastings, 86 points, and Rosebud beat Somerville by 79, which made Frankston Bombers' win over Redhill by 45 points the nail-biter. It was a round of real thrashings, wasn't it?
It really was. Would have been interesting to be a spectator at that particular round of Nepean. But, yeah, you know, never know. They might be a bit closer this time around.
That's right. Match-ups, of course. And just turned out that this week, last week, there were clear favourites in the Peninsula Football and Netball League. There were some closer games. Not Mornington. They pantsed Coringle by 80 points. Chelsea had a really good win, beating Seaford by 5 points at home. And Mount Eliza just missed out. Frankston YCW, who of course are a powerhouse, lost by 2 goals, did Mount Eliza. Pines, and we had a chat with the Pines, I think a couple of weeks ago. They were too strong for Langwarrin. They're a pretty young team, Langwarrin. And Edie Asp kept their final hopes alive with a 34-point win over Bond Beach. So this is the team that is down the highway to Frankston. A lot of the teams based there, of course. Frankston YCW, the Stonecats, they've been dominant, haven't they?
They have, and they were one of the teams that was missing players on the weekend because of the Vic Country commitments. But looking at that ladder, it looks like Mornington and Coringle are actually sitting right next to each other, but that win gives Mornington a 3-win buffer over Coringle. So it's just showing there's a little bit of a gap there between the bottom two sides and the next bunch up. But looking at it, someone's going to be really unlucky to miss finals this year at the way this is shaping up. There's not a whole lot between some of these teams at the moment, and still a couple of rounds to go.
Round 12 in the South Eastern Football and Netball League. Doveton have annihilated Hampton Park. Now, where are these two teams respectively on the ladder? Because Doveton has won by 218 points. So I imagine pretty tough going this year for Hampton Park.
Yes, Hampton Park still yet to get its first win on the board. And Doveton, that puts them up to, well, they're sitting nicely in fourth now at the moment with 7 wins, 4 losses. So going along okay at the moment. But yeah, we're still barracking for Hampton Park to get their first win on the board.
Seems a long way away after the weekend's effort. Berwick, yet to be defeated this season, and a 49-point win over a plucky Narre Warren at Berwick.
Yeah, not a bad win there for Berwick, but yeah, it's an interesting result. 11 straight. It's and 247%. It's doing. Yeah, they're tracking along very nicely. They're going to be the team to beat.
So are they a similar powerhouse to Sorrento? Obviously, we've got a couple of teams really dominating the competitions in Sefnal and Nepean. But we've seen before teams go through seasons undefeated, and it all can change in finals. Cranbourne will be one team that they'll have to keep an eye on. They had a 97-point win over Officer, and Tooradon Dalmore, a 34-point win over Pakenham.
Yeah, see, that was a good win for Tooradon Dalmore. They're going to be hard-pressed to beat. They're probably ruled out of finals at this stage, or it's going to be very unlikely that they'll push up. There's a two-game gap there.
Most likely challenge at Ford Dufton, do you think?
Oh, you still got Narre Warren. Narre Warren's just one step behind them on 6-4. So yeah. That win was probably pretty handy for them.
We're going to take a break. And by the way, all those results brought to you by Jacobs & Lowe, estate agents in Mornington. And when we come back, we'll have a look at a couple more competitions. But we'll head out to Mowi. Just tell us a little bit about the Mowi story, Hannah, because it is a ripping story. Manny Galagotis will join us there, president. But this is a club about to celebrate a premiership reunion. And those in attendance, let's just say they're, I don't know whether they're going to bring their iPhones or whether they're contactable via Facebook, because it's a 50-year reunion.
It is a 50-year reunion since Mowi's last, which is that senior premiership.
Yep.
They've won a few others since then, but the last time they had the senior premiership was 50 years ago. They've had, and we'll be talking about to Manny about this a bit later, but they've had a few attempts and came extraordinarily close in a couple of occasions since, but haven't quite been able to get over the line to get that next cup on the mantle.
Well, they're tracking pretty well this year. 50 years since their last flag, a reunion in the offing. After the break, Manny Galagotis to join us. Welcome back to the Bush and the Burbs in the soccer. Arsenal still can't get that second goal. 68 minutes gone. It's Arsenal 1, Sydney FC 0, and they've had a penalty saved. Andrew Redmayne's been a bit of the hero right throughout the night as a number of Arsenal players make their way to the bench, allowing a new raft of champions to come on. Lacazette, I can see, is joining the fray, and maybe Mesut Ozil. I'm not quite sure whether or not Sydney FC will be able to return the compliment and bring on such an array of stars to allow a bit of a rest for some of their players, because, of course, you've got one of the greatest teams on the planet. They're still only leading 1-0. Time to return to matters local football with Hannah Driscoll from the Weekly Times chief footy writer, joining me in the absence of Paul Daffy. And we head out to Gippsland right now, to the Mowi Football Club, a club that has certainly knocked on the door since their last premiership 50 years ago, but it remains elusive. And their president, a name well known to sporting fans, is Manny Galagotis, of course, in concert with his brother, racehorse trainer Peter, where he is the stable manager and the business manager. They've given us some great thrills in recent spring carnivals and Group 1 races, the likes of Mourinho, of course. Well, there's a soccer flavour off the top, isn't it? Vastan, they took over the training late in the career of the cleaner and brought him back to full health before that wonderful horse's retirement. I remember Sir Rosebank, a wonderful jumper. But we're not here to talk about thoroughbreds, about equine flesh. We're here to talk about local footballers who hopefully will be held in similar esteem down Mowi way at the end of the year when the premiership drought is broken. Good evening to you, Manny.
Yeah, good evening, Mark and Hannah. And yeah, thanks very much. It's you brought back a few memories there, Sir Rosebank. Couple of really good old horses. My late father trained that horse, and yeah, that was our introduction really to racing, and that horse got it all started. So that was nice to hear that.
Yeah, beautiful. It had some beautiful jumpers, and yeah, Sir Rosebank was a lovely horse. The matter at hand, though, is Mowi, in racing parlance, is a couple of furlongs from the final, beautifully placed.
Yeah, this year, Mark, yeah, it's we've been sort of working pretty hard. It's obviously coming up. It's actually 50 years since we've won a senior premiership, and we're going to be celebrating that in the coming weeks. And yeah, look, we've been pretty close, we've sort of been renowned as the Collingwood of the bush. But I feel this year is the stepping stone to great things to come in the future years to come, for sure.
And it's testament really to laying foundations through strong junior teams and right down to the kids at any club, but especially at a local football club in the country, is sustainable. Anything else in terms of striking out, recruiting and producing the checkbook in any given season really, really has all hopes, sort of all eggs in one basket. I imagine Moe is placed as well as they are or have been for a long, long time in that regard.
Definitely. And it's been the thing that impresses me the most, that we really worked very hard. This is my fourth year as president, and we certainly had to make some quick decisions. And you know, we inherited a situation where we just needed to make some obviously serious changes and restore a little bit of sort of credibility within the football society down here and our region. And there's an array of things that have occurred, and the one that you touched on is that we've embraced on a youth campaign led by a sensational coach that we have down here in Lachlan Sim, who's a former Brisbane Bear, and an outstanding coach that's been through various roles, including power and an array of coaching scenarios. And we're very lucky as a club to have him. And the fruit of the labour there in the last two or three years is that we've really, really managed to give games to some really high talented kids and really create good people in our community, which is really important, and really making the football club how it was in the good old days, the centre of attention and a hub where we all like to catch up and sort of, you know, install a little bit of discipline and get some respect back in the marketplace. So I think, as I said, a lot of our coaches and the club and the committee have worked really hard, and the fruits of that is, we've had two kids drafted in the last 2 years, and obviously we've had an array of junior players going through the TAC Cup and also representative football, and we're very proud of that, Mark, I must say.
And to back that up, the under-16s are on top of the table, two games clear of Traralgon. I see the thirds are currently in third position, and the depth is even sounded out with the Rezzies in fifth position. So it's not just idle talk, is it?
No, it's been very good. And even as late as last week with all the representative football going on, we played Lee and Gatter. And I think 10 of our under-16s stepped up and played under-18s. And we went down by 10 points, I think, something like that. But the under-16s have won two of the last 3 years. They've won premierships. And we won it last year. And the majority of the team were down age. So the Moe Football Netball Club's got a lot to look forward to in the future. There's no doubt about it. And I didn't really understand it when I was a player and in any form of sport that I played. And once I sort of got to the admin side of it, I certainly really appreciate the fact that while sometimes you don't win premierships, as I said before, you're really creating good people in our community. And if they can play good football, it's a massive bonus, because they're not always going to, make it to the top. But, if they go home and say that they're having a great experience at the football club and having a good time, and they're well respected and cared for and well coached, that means a lot to me as well and my committee.
Now, Manny, as we said a little bit earlier, Moe has had a few attempts to try and get this premiership and come very, very close. You were involved in some of those more recent attempts. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, it's something that sort of scarred me for a while, and I certainly played through the latter years in the 90s under Lachlan Sim, actually, who was our senior coach at the time. And so I was a bit of a Molly Duke. So I played obviously a bit of soccer and played football as well. So I mixed both sports, and unfortunately, through my soccer career, which obviously was the old NSL, which now is the A-League, obviously, I was able to play soccer through summer, and then I could sneak away and play a bit of footy without no one knowing too much. And unfortunately, every finals time come around was the start of our pre-season with soccer, so I was summoned back to work because that was my full-time job, and I missed out on two grand finals, which is not a really a really good feeling, because I was really passionate about my footy. It was a really strong outlet for me, and I really enjoyed going back to a country club where I lived, obviously, and I played for a few country clubs down this area, but just really enjoyed getting away from the pressure bubble of what soccer was for me, and lucky, I was very blessed to be able to play footy as well. I made a lot of good mates, and a burning desire as a president is what I missed out as a player. And you never lose that passion to sort of win and succeed. And I've tried to really do my best to install that into the whole organisation, to be honest. And it was a bit of a bitter pill to swallow, I must say. But hopefully, I can do it as a president.
I did like the word. Is it hard for you to have to call soccer, well, not call it football, or is that just something for you that's very natural?
No, I think more in Europe it's football, and obviously in Australia the premier sport is the AFL, and you just got to concede that.
Oh, I wouldn't have been saying that in New South Wales or Queensland in the last couple of days.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I mean, I just heard before you look at the updates with the Sydney FC, and Graham Arnold's a really, an old opponent of mine and a good friend, and I've got some mates that are still involved, and I sort of still follow it as much as I can. But, I've sort of walked away from that now, and my passion is the Murray Football Netball Club for sure. And, when you can't sort of play anymore, you try and install something to offer, and I don't coach or anything like that, but I'm really enjoying the business side of running the club and also doing what I can to support the committee board and sponsors and the whole lot in town. It's it's how it rolls in the country. We're all living in the one town, and I want people to obviously be very, very proud of the local football club.
At the moment, Moe is sitting fourth. You've won 8 games, lost 4 in the Gippsland League season. But do you think you've got what it takes to beat the side like Leon Gatho, who's appeared in the last 2 grand finals? You've got Mafra, the reigning premier, and Traralgon, who's also been very strong.
Well, I'm sure they're confident against Leon Gatho. 1 point on the weekend, and you had them for most of the afternoon, I saw.
Yeah, we did. We were terrific. I felt really sorry for the players on the weekend. They were very brave. We controlled the game, for the majority, and to their credit, they defended very well. They showed a lot of experience, but even their president sort of approached me after the game, and he knew they sort of escaped. But I think that sort of loss instills a lot of confidence. And even the previous week, we beat Traralgon really well, and we've got significant players out at the moment. So the answer to the question, Hannah, is I'm really confident. This group's really growing, and they're growing very quick. But I think it's pretty clear that our young group, I think we've produced maybe our 11th or 12th under 18 footballers played seniors this year. It's amazing. And, when they play well, the team plays really well. And it just banks on, getting as much game time into these guys and just installing that belief. I think we're well over the hurdles now of maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago where we were really struggling. But now we've managed to build a really strong platform for success. And we've got a great coach, a great playing coach in James Blazer, very elite person, very professional, and he's been been a player for the last sort of 8 or 9 years. And where we've been lucky is that appointing him as the coach, it's been a real smooth transition, and the players have embraced him as a former teammate, and he's just been amazing. He's really, really created a really positive vibe around the place, and he's been a credit to himself.
Speaking with Manny Galagotis, the president of the Moe Football Club, and rightfully excited about not only the years to come, but also this season. Now, Manny, your experience in the racing game, especially with a headline maker like Mourinho, who, as those of us who know racing, had his moments, didn't he, right on the track, right at barrier, getting him into the barriers, and some famous moments there, means that you would take nothing for granted, but the next 3 weeks read as a real opportunity, let's say, for Moe to make an impression on the top 2 and even the top of the table, given that you play Druin, Bairnsdale and Sale, the 3 bottom clubs currently on the ladder.
That's right. We've got we've got a lot going on at the moment. And, you know, what I liked about the last couple of weeks is we've really played the two favourites outside Mafra. I think Mafra are a great side also. So we've gone down to Mafra by 3 points, gone down to Leongatha by one, and defeated Traralgon. So I think the players do really believe that they can do it. But like you said, you've just got to keep working hard, keep doing the things that you need to do. And I always say to the players, I'm a sort of not a hands-on president to the point where I've spent a lot of time with the players, but when I do, I keep on reminding them where they've been, you know, try and tell them and encourage them to don't ever forget the bleaky past. You know, it should be your motivation to springboard to greater heights. And I think, when you've sort of won a few games of sport and that culture kicks in, I think it's really critical in any sporting organisation that, you know, if everyone's happy and the whole, and this is where I sort of come from, is that you go to work and, you know, what I've seen in the last 4 years and the way that the club's working, like players are going to the canteen and helping out netballers and, you know, there's just a big buy-in by the whole organisation, and it just really impresses me. And I think that that's the benchmark and the backboard for having success. If you're not working together and, hurting with the losses and feeling great about the wins, I don't think it's... I don't think you'll be successful. That's what we believe anyway.
Well, you'll certainly have a few happy people around the club in a couple of weeks' time with this reunion. And how many people are you expecting to get down there, and how many teams are you bringing together?
Yeah, so we're sort of... obviously, the 67 Premiership side is the one that that we're really going to embrace on the day. We have a home game, obviously, that day, which is great. And we're going to really look after the guys, and really looking forward to it. And obviously on that night, we're having a back two function, so that's an open invitation, obviously, to all past players. We want to, you know, and community and the whole alike. Now, there's been a real buy-in by the town. We've put it right out there that, we need to celebrate these heroes of yesteryear. It's been a long time, I agree. It's been way too long. But wouldn't it be nice on the 50-year celebration? That'd be something really to behold. If we could sort of have a little bit of success this year and sort of have a 50-year celebration, that would be unbelievable.
Do you know how many of the members of the last Premiership side will be in attendance?
Yes, so we're certainly going to have Brian McKenzie, who leads a lot of the past player stuff, and also leads the Centurion group, which is a coterie sort of group for the club. Tells me that there's going to be strong attendance. We've tried to obviously track down as many as we could. Unfortunately, we have some deceased footballers as well. Their families will be invited as well, and some of their family members are already part of the club, whether it's life membership or on the committee or just, you know, supporting the club. So, you know, it's a time that the club needs to reflect and show their appreciation and respect towards that achievement. I think Premierships aren't easy to win, and we certainly are very grateful and respectful on the performance of those guys back in the good old days, and, you know, even the three following years or within the, you know, after that, we lost three premierships by something like 5 points. So, you know, we've been very stiff. It was a golden era for the club, but Geelong went through it, and then they ended up having some success. So we just got to keep chipping away, and I believe that we've sort of built the foundation to a really strong, long, sustainable future. And I can't wait to sort of meet a lot of the footballers of the 67 Premiership, and looking forward to hearing a lot of good banter and a lot of great stories.
Well, the passion has certainly come through in this discussion, Manny. And we know that you're extremely busy as stable manager, business manager of that great racing concern, and obviously heavily involved with the local club. Actually, you did mention... that you've had a couple of players drafted in recent times. I know Sam Skinner, who went to the Lions and did his knees, from Moe, but I can't place the other Moe lad who's been drafted.
Yeah, so Declan Kelty was rookie drafted to Melbourne.
Great.
And young boy that, you know, was really going terrific and backed his judgment, went down to Casey Scorpions, and to his credit, through a lot of hard work and determination, just like... back in the 90s, another former teammate of mine, Troy Makepeace, went to the Kangas and had a great career from Moe, and Declan's done the same. So credit to him. he backed himself, and his mum's actually the treasurer of the club now. So it's a great story, and she's very, you know, both the parents are very proud. And as we are, you know, we're really thrilled to see that, as I said like before, you know, it's sometimes clubs are about premierships. And one thing I have learnt is about seeing these young people that aspire to love their footy and go on. Sam Skinner's an amazing kid. You know, his dad helps out in the 16s with Lachlan Sim. He's a great coach in the area down here as well. And, you know, Sam, whenever he comes back home, this is the sort of, you know, he'll come back and work in the canteen at the footy club and stuff like that. So it's just amazing. They're really, really, really good people. And as I said, you know, I'm the fortunate one that sort of leads the way as president. But I sit back and just really, really, really embrace these guys. They're terrific people, and I'm really proud of the club.
Great stuff, Manny. It's a passion that is playing itself out on the field. And I believe you must be a representation of what's happening at the Maui Footy Club this year. Then watch out, because this 50-year celebration on July the 22nd might turn into a heck of a party come season's end. All the best for the rest of the year, Manny.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, Hannah. And yeah, I'll look forward to seeing you guys another time. Thanks very much.
Brilliant. The effervescent Manny Galagotis. Hannah, we are going to take a break, check in with the Essendon District Football League when we come back. We've spent a bit of time there with Manny, so just a quick look at a couple of other big games, Eastern Footy League. There was a ripping game between Blackburn and Noble Park. In the soccer, Arsenal have doubled their advantage eventually after 30 shots on goal. One went in from Lacazette, slotted one home. It's Arsenal 2, Sydney FC 0, about 4 minutes of play remaining. When we come back, and more Bush and the Burbs as we go pretty local, Essendon, and have a look at the Eastern Footy League as well. Welcome back. Well, Hannah Driscoll and I have got a bit of ground to cover. Let's have a quick look at the Eastern Footy League, where Blackburn had a great win over Noble Park with James Gould kicking 3 goals for Noble Park. But best on ground for Blackburn was Ben Danaher, Neil's son. He's had a great season, and this is an important win for Blackburn. It takes them from 5th to 3rd on the table and drops Noble Park down to 5th. The other big result was Baldwin, who've been on a rollicking run, were beaten by Doncaster. Doncaster, 6 on the table, had a great win, really putting it to Baldwin. It was Doncaster at home, I think, 13-9-87, all over Doncaster, all over Baldwin, 5-7-37. Hannah, let's check in with Adam Sorokoglu now of the Essendon District Football League. Good evening to you, Adam.
G'day, Finey. G'day, Hannah.
Evening.
How are you? And Avondale Heights have been brought back to earth a bit after 4 great wins in a row.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, they were calling him Sir Don down there. Donald McDonald took over as coach after Rick Horwood was let go, sort of probably 6 weeks into the season. But yeah, Aberfeldy, just such a strong unit, and got a pretty important win, I reckon, because we've got 3 really great teams in the top 4 at the moment that are all sort of vying for 2 spots in that double chance. So yeah, Avondale Heights certainly did come back down to earth a little bit.
And how big was Pasco Vale's win over Maribyrnong Park?
Given, it's interesting with Paco, they can't play their home ground very well. They're one of those clubs that actually struggle on their home deck and play better on the bigger decks. And you know, this game was at home. They've actually now won 2 in a row. So that was a really important win for Pasco Vale, just to actually feel good at home again. But it's probably too little too late. They have won 3 in a row, but I can't see them getting into the top 4 now. They've got a really tough run home. So this was more about pride probably for Paco.
And not that the win over West Coburg was unexpected, and it was huge, 131 points. But Greenvale, of course, are going to be a side to be reckoned with for the remainder of the year.
For mine, they're the form team of EDFL at the moment, Finey. Adam Marrick, former Demon, he's having a magnificent season. He's kicked 45 goals as a midfielder. He's definitely not playing any form of sort of forward role. He's a genuine mid that has kicked 45 goals and on 5 different occasions kicked at least 5 goals in a single game. So he's absolutely outstanding. And Courtney Dempsey's just walked into that side as well and done a magnificent job. And, of course, Paul Chapman, he's doing magnificent as coach as well of the Jets. So, yeah, they're flying along the moment, Greenvale.
Short and sharp, but a great look, and we'll be in touch in the next few weeks to see how that top-of-the-table ladder plays itself out. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, guys.
Adam Sorokoglu there from the Essendon District Football League. Greensboro, who had a slow start to the season, keep rolling along. They defeated top team McLeod, but now they've got a challenge because their coach Robert Hyde's off for a 7-week European holiday.
Yeah, about to jet off. So interesting times to be sort of going away. But to just turn the table in their season like that, to be zipping five and suddenly be 6-5. It's an amazing achievement.
It's Sydney Swans like.
Absolutely.
They're cruising, and their coach is going to be cruising because he's taking a cruise in Europe. Let's finish off with the WorkSafe Game of the Month. Tell us about it, Heather.
Yes, that one's coming up on Sunday, 2:30 for the seniors. It's Hillsville taking on Alinda Fernie Creek. This is a grand final rematch from last year. They did meet earlier in the season with Alinda turning the tables on reigning premier Hillsville. Big one there. Two big names, Brent Harvey and Peter Knights, will be in attendance. Lots to do there for the kids. And Boomer coming off a very big weekend for North Heidelberg. Him and his brother kicked a lazy 21 goals between them.
What happened?
Most of them going to Shane with 17. As you do.
Shane, showing up your brother there.
Just
17. That's
it was a big win for North Heidelberg, we should say. 182-73 over Watsonia. But
yeah, still, I mean, Watsonia's not terrible. That 17 goals, Shane. And to think Brent played the record number of AFL games. You could have played double that. Hannah, you were fantastic. We're going to do it again in a couple of weeks because Daph's got another speaking appointment.
Yes. Brilliant. So I hope you're happy to have me again.
I am delighted, as will the listeners be. We're going to take a break. When we return, we're going to England to have a live chat with Emil Heskey. And then it's from Heskey to Pesky because Peaky's coming in.
You're getting ready to go out. You want to get in the mood. There's a playlist for that. You move to the beat. You trip over the dog. You're not dancing anymore. You open the Medibank app and find a physio. We live in an on-demand world, and now your health insurance comes on demand too. Download the new Medibank app today.